You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Go all the way back to the beginning in the garden, right after the fall. Genesis 3:15, God's speaking to Satan, the arch deceiver and the enemy of every human being. God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. From the beginning, Satan set out to prevent God's plan of salvation and to destroy the human race. A major part of Satan's plan was to destroy and or corrupt the seed of woman. It was very corrupt in the days of Noah. There were genetically modified humans, giants, Nephilim, crossbreeds in the earth, not only before the flood, but after as well. Noah was found, now listen, Noah was found perfect in his generations. It has an S on that word. Noah was found perfect in his generations. So how did this happen that there were giants after the flood, especially since those particularly wicked angels were bound in the earth since the flood? Men multiplied them upon the earth at the time of the flood. It's quite possible that there were as many as 6 billion or more Nephilim crossbreeds at the time of the flood. The Nephilim, produced by the cast down ones, the fallen angels involved in the great sin of genetically altering and producing half-breed crossbreed humans, were put in chains in the earth at the time of the flood. The humans who died in their sin went to hell, and those who found God's grace were in paradise until the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about the spirits of the Nephilim? See, they were not really human, and they certainly were not really angels. What about those Nephilim? What about the spirits of the Nephilim? Are these Nephilim spirits the strong man spirits that need to be bound first in deliverance to spoil the strong man's house of the demons? Could those strong man spirits leading to all sorts of evil be what the demons really are? Let's look at the scriptures. Matthew 24:37-38. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And Luke 17:26-27. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And then in Jude, verses 6 and 7, in Jude, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And then we go to Genesis 6, a difficult chapter. Some things we can know of a certainty, and other things we just have to know this is the Word of God, and this is what God wants us to know. Genesis 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Perfect in his generations. There's an S on that word. Noah and his wife and his three sons were pure in their unaltered, unmodified DNA that the cast down ones had not corrupted. Shem's line produced the Messiah coming from the uncorrupted seed of woman who did crush Satan's head at that cross of Calvary on Nisan 14, on Wednesday, Nisan 14 in 30 AD. And he was resurrected on Saturday, Nisan 17. God never changed the Sabbath day. It's always been the same. The Pope changed it. So therefore, we ought to know that Shem's wife was not how the giants survived the flood. And of Ham and Japheth, it could have been either or both of them. But as we'll see, it probably was just Ham, Ham's wife. Of Ham came Cush, the father of Nimrod, who was in open rebellion against God. And many believe that he was the first of the giants after the flood, Nimrod. Many believe that. You can't say, thus saith the Lord on that, but many believe that to be the truth. All false religions, every false religion, traces its roots to the Babylonian religion set up by Nimrod, the sun god, his wife Semiramis, the moon god, the queen of heaven, and Tammuz, the illegitimate son who came from Semiramis about 4 or 5 years after Nimrod had died. Genesis 6:2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Now the sons of God is B'nai Ha Elohim, and the daughters of men are Bat Ha Adam. They took all manner of wives they chose. Here is what the Hebrew, I mean, if you literally look at the Hebrew words, and I have them written out, transliterated, okay, but I want to tell you what the plain Hebrew says. Listen to this. This is a strange way to say something, but this is just literally what those Hebrew words say. The Nephthim were on the earth in those days, and also after that, when came the sons of God to the daughters of men bore. Those were the mighty of old, men of renown, saw the Lord, for was great evil of man, the earth, every intent of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continually. Now, that's a strange way to talk, but it opens up much to pray and seek the Lord for wisdom about those words, which saints need to endure. We need the wisdom of God in these areas to endure to the end of this Antichrist war on the saints. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The results of what the sons of God did caused the women to bear giants, Nephilim, crossbreeds, genetically modified humans, to corrupt the seed of woman. That was the intent, to corrupt the seed of woman and destroy the human race as God had created and promised to redeem by the seed of woman. We'll get a little bit more insight on this from Job. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Job 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And it really helps in Job 38:7, where it says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Before God created man in his image, all the sons of God, angels, that's what they were called. And before God created man in his image, all the sons of God, the angels, shouted for joy. All of them. When God created man in his own image to have dominion, even over the angels, Lucifer then led a rebellion wherein one-third of the sons of God joined Satan in that rebellion. And hell was created for Satan and his anti-God rebellious followers. Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. I think we all have a good idea of why hell is being enlarged when we look around us today. Our souls get vexed, just as Lot's soul was vexed by what he saw going on in Sodom. We need to be diligent not to be any part of why hell is being enlarged. It's always right to bind spirits not of God in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood of Yeshua. In any deliverance, I see no possible downside to binding in Jesus' name the Kundalini spirit, the Nephilim spirit, the crossbreed, half-breed spirits as the strong man to be bound first before we begin casting out the evil spirits or other demons that we may have to deal with in any deliverance. Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Well, how was it in the days of Noah? The sons of God, the watchers, the genetic manipulators, came down probably about 500 to 1,000 years before the flood. And these particularly evil sons of God, Nephilim, and see, that's what the word Nephilim actually means. It means cast down ones. Nephilim means cast down ones, or tyrants, or bullies. But the actual Hebrew word for giants is Gibor. The cast down ones, these watchers, were intent upon, and we got two witnesses in the New Testament, both Peter and Jude. These cast down ones were intent upon leaving their first estate. That's how it was in the days of Noah, that these cast down ones were intent upon leaving their first estate. These particularly evil spirit beings wanted to have incarnation. They wanted bodies of flesh, and they were not content to indwell as other evil spirits. You see, they're spirit beings, and they want to operate in this physical realm, but they were not content to indwell as other evil spirits. They did not marry all the wives they took. That's an assumption. I believe it was very much like abduction and rape, much the same as the many consistent reports of those who have experienced UFO and or extraterrestrial alien abductions and molestation in our time. And I won't argue the point, but in addition to what we've looked at so far, Matthew 20:30, Jesus made it clear, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Let me say that again. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. And Mark 12:25, he says the same thing. We've got our two witnesses again. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Now, the ancient literature, in every culture, you're going to find accounts that are consistent regarding the flood. And the ancient accounts of the flood are just as consistent as the many, many accounts of UFO alien abductions that began to happen and have been happening and are escalating since about 1948. That year of 1948 was very significant prophetically because it was the founding of the modern state of Israel. The ancient accounts from many cultures are consistent that these fallen angels, the cast down ones, the Nephilim, not only sinned against the humans, but against the animals as well. These cast down ones used both human and animal DNA, operating upon both humans and animals. All flesh, that's what the Word of God says, all flesh of man and beast had been corrupted. And this is consistent with the scriptures in Genesis 6, 7, and 12. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. It seems to me that this really does away with the most popular views of sins, the sins of the Nephilim, being what we would normally consider sins of sexual immorality, because animals do not have any moral connotation. An animal is an animal. It does what an animal is programmed to do by instincts programmed by God. Animals just do as their instincts are programmed by the Creator. And there is no freedom to willing to choose to have any moral connotation for animals. Animals do not do anything other than what they're programmed to do. And animals, therefore, do not do what they do from any moral considerations. And since all flesh, that's the word of God, since all flesh had been corrupted, both human and animal, here is what I personally believe. And I personally do not believe the popular opinion of the sins of the cast down ones who produced the Nephilim to be sexual sins, but even worse, they degraded and corrupted the DNA of all flesh. Now, what the cast down ones, the watchers, wanted to do was to leave their first estate, to leave their first estate as spirit beings and to have flesh bodies. And these cast down ones, these Nephilim, who produced the giants, and the giants that were produced by this genetic manipulation, they could reproduce. And these cast down ones, the Nephilim who produced the giants, were not content to indwell humans as other evil spirits. They wanted their own bodies. And from what I can understand of the genetics involved, this would require use of both human and animal DNA. Humans can have the Holy Spirit indwelling their spirit, or demons indwelling their soul and body, but there's no way to separate the human spirit from its soul and body other than death. That's the only way it can happen. That's the only way the human spirit can be separated from its body is by death. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? No human can have his spirit separated from him until his death. Ecclesiastes 3:21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Every flesh creature that God created reproduces after its kind. God established barriers, like a donkey and a horse can produce a mule, but mule cannot reproduce. The cast down ones, the watchers, could not create as God could, but they could certainly do what genetic scientists are doing today, as we see it is, as it was in the days of Noah. They could corrupt genetics. They could blend the DNA of humans and animals. They could, in this way, make something that could bypass the barriers which God had established. They could make something where the spirit of a human would not enter into it because it was not really human, and the spirit of an animal would not enter into it because it was not really an animal. And thus, by using both human and animal DNA, the Watcher, Nephilim, cast down ones, who wanted to leave their first estate, could form a body for themselves that did not have the interference of the human spirit or animal spirit, but only their spirit. And this is why the cast down ones came under this particular heavy, unredeemable judgment of God. Jude 1:6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And this is why God also instructed the Israelites that if they were to see a Nephilim, They were to kill it on the spot. And with the way we see how God is long-suffering and patient and merciful and forgiving, we see here that this sin of the Nephilim goes way beyond the limits of what we normally would think of as sin. So how do we find the giants after the Nephilim somehow managed to get past the flood? We know there were giants, the Anakim, the Rephaim, the Emims, the Zamzamims, all of those, you might say, nations of giants were on this earth after the flood. That's the word of God. However, the word of God says that Noah was perfect in his generations. And be careful that you recognize there's an S on that word, generations of Noah. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth were not corrupted. Their wives could have been. And I think from the way Ham was cursed and his son Cush produced Nimrod, and Nimrod is the source of all Antichrist religions, all anti-God religions, all pagan religions, and every religion other than the faith of Abraham, the true faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of those false religions trace their roots to Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. Noah was perfect in his generation, so that means that the genes of Noah and his wife's ancestors had not been corrupted. Shem, Ham, and Japheth did not have corrupted genetics, but what about their wives? And that's how the giants, the corruption of the Nephilim, the giants got past the flood. It could not have been Shem's wife, because of that line we do know Messiah, the perfect spotless Lamb of God, was born of a virgin. The seed of woman is come in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. So of the possibilities of Ham and Japheth's wife, we know it was Ham's wife for certain, because of Genesis 10:8, Ham begat Cush, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. The Hebrew word there is Gibor, and that is the word for giant. Nimrod was a Nephilim giant, most say about 5 years after Nimrod's death. His wife Semiramis gave birth to a son, Tammuz, and all false religions, Hindus, Buddhists, Islam, New Age, occult mystery religions, such as Freemasonry, and even the Roman Catholic religion, as well as the Orthodox, all of those trace their roots back to that Babylonian, unholy counterfeit trinity of Nimrod, the sun god, Semiramis, the moon god, queen of heaven, and Tammuz, the son of God. Now, many who speak openly of Kundalini power say it is the power of the supreme goddess, the power of the mother aspect of the divine. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Elohim, Echad. There is no such thing as the mother of God, as the Roman popes like to teach, or a mother goddess or female divinity. The Bible never mentions any such thing. Here's what the Holy Bible says about the Queen of Heaven. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. This provokes God to anger. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 18, and also chapter 44 of Jeremiah. There is no feminine side of God presented in the Bible. However, I do not believe there is any human gender that is superior or inferior to another. I believe it's foolish, and asking for the judgment of God upon America by the abomination making a law respecting six genders and not having a sound enough mind to know that God only made two human genders. And I'm not in any respect a male chauvinist. I simply will not corrupt or try to politically correct the Word of God for anybody or any reason. There is nothing inferior about submitting to authority. In fact, it is a mark of great faith. The Lord Jesus only ever marveled at two things: the great faith of the Roman centurion and the unbelief of those in the area of Nazareth. The great faith was manifest by the Roman centurion because of how he expressed the impossibility of one being in authority unless one is under authority. And that is very directly and profoundly related to faith. The Lord Yeshua HaMashiach submitted to the Heavenly Father while upon this earth, but he was not inferior in any way. And likewise, a godly woman who obeys her husband is not inferior in any way, and in fact is quite superior to the women who do not. The only one inferior may be the husband who is abusive and fails to love his wife with kindness, respect, admiration, and appreciation, and who fails to cherish her as Christ loves his church. There are women today who presume themselves to be Christians who feel that it's degrading to even think about obeying a husband. And then they wonder why they can never have peace and abiding sense of joy and fulfillment. It's very unfortunate why this subject is so seldom addressed in so many modern churches bound under the influence of such women and spineless liars for hire, I might say, too. It's no wonder why the divorce rate among Christians today exceeds the divorce rate of the general population, and it would be hard to name a more positive sign of the great falling away from the faith that we know is going to happen and we see happening in these last days. God has created us all equally in his image. For Jesus is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Many Christians speak of spiritual power without ever defining it properly. Everyone likes to assume that just because someone claims to be a Christian, that any supernatural power manifestation is Holy Spirit power. Christians must test the spirits to see if they are of God. Christians must insist that the supernatural power manifestation be known exactly what or who that power refers to. The New Age movement obliterates the Lord Jesus Christ. They speak of forces and powers, but fail to recognize the only source of all power, the one and only God of Israel, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And truly, Jesus, and only Jesus, is our peace. But this peace is only promised to those who have been born again into the kingdom of God's family known as Israel. The test of the spirits can be as simple as asking them to say, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And sadly, even if they read it out of their other Bible, any other Bible other than the KJV Holy Bible, they will not pass the test of the spirits given in 1 John 4. We must test the spirits to see if they are of God. God commands that we do so. And the Holy Spirit is never threatened by the tests of the spirits. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And those in the mystical religions and occult say one can have peace by using spiritual power. However, the Bible, the Holy Bible, says peace begins by accepting the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior. Only by trusting in the atonement, the propitiation, the blood of God, which Jesus shed for our sins, can anyone have true peace. Jesus Christ, God the Son, manifest in the flesh, died and was buried and rose again for the justification of those who receive him as Savior and Lord. Even a small child can turn to Jesus Christ in the simplest of faith and ask him to forgive us of our sins and come into our heart as Savior and desire to acknowledge and serve and worship him as Lord. Jesus Christ is God. Yeshua is more than just our peace. He's also our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Even those who dabble with and seek the powers of and are promoters of, as well as guru masters of Kundalini, openly acknowledge it's dangerous. Even the masters of Kundalini Yoga say that the Kundalini spirit or Kundalini power is restless, and at the lower levels is anything but a way of peace. The masters and gurus of this occult power say, perhaps to feather their own nest, I don't know. But they say that the higher forms of Kundalini power are not restless and are more peaceful. Well, that's ridiculous, to even mess with something that is so obviously not of God, with such high risk to everyone. And yet it is these same mystical, occult, Eastern mystic powers that are being brought into the church to please those in a wicked and adulterous generation who seek after signs and wonders. In the Christian churches, these spirits are not tested as a rule, and most are inclined to assume that anything supernatural in the church is of God. And that's ridiculous when there is such obvious departure from the warnings given in the scriptures. What is the name of the spirits behind such powers and forces? Is it Baal, Asherah, Jezebel, Balaam, Nephilim spirits? Just because Hindus and Buddhists call Kundalini the Holy Spirit, by no means is that the spirit which is part of the Godhead. Eastern mystic religions teach that everyone has this Kundalini spirit. One should not wonder that Kundalini power can perform all kinds of miracles. The majority of physical illness and almost all mental illness is a result of spirits of infirmity, and it should therefore be no wonder that Kundalini power can be seen to heal all kinds of diseases. Satan put the spirits of infirmity in the poor victims in the first place. But it does sound so enticing to get the power to become invisible, or the power to levitate, or the power to heal people. Now, I do believe in miracles of healing. I've seen most of them talked about in the Bible. I've watched and witnessed with my own eyes God do these things. And I do believe in miracles of healing, but the scriptures most certainly do not call it Kundalini power. Power to heal from occult or unidentified spirits is not of God. The bottom line of why we must test the spirits to see if they're of God is that Kundalini and other spirits not of God derive their power directly from the devil himself, and the Bible forbids us to have any dealings with the occult, New Age movement, or anything that is not of God. Deuteronomy 18:10-12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Anybody that prays to saints is into necromancy. Anybody that prays to Mother Mary is into necromancy. And God hates it. You do that, you're cursed, your children are cursed, your grandchildren are cursed, and your great-grandchildren are cursed. This is what God said. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Witchcraft or divination is a means for extracting information or guidance from a pagan god. When most people think of witchcraft, they think of worshiping the devil. However, most people that worship the devil do not worship him directly. They worship idols or other pagan gods. What we should understand is that behind every idol is a demon, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 10:19-20. And that very clearly teaches. Paul said, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. There's a real danger in playing with the occult. Charms, idols, statues, icons, crystals, tarot cards, candles, potions, magic recipes, astrology, horoscopes, palm readings, fortune tellers, psychics, crystal balls, spells, trinkets, because there are demons behind all of these. If someone seeks guidance or power or information from them, then they're practicing witchcraft. And legal ground is given for demons to come into the body and soul of believers or unbelievers alike. There actually are many people today who are placing emphasis on astrology rather than on the Bible. And because some minister once led them in a prayer, believe themselves to be Christians. Remember, seeking guidance or information from a pagan god is witchcraft according to the Bible. And stores and magazine racks are loaded with material on occult practices. And the media is promoting it everywhere. Oprah Winfrey has done much to promote it. Many books in so-called Christian bookstores today promote it. And we should know that even if it's found in a Christian bookstore, that astrology and all such practices are an abomination unto the Lord. And God calls it abomination and a great affront to His holiness. It's an abomination because it takes people away from the living and true God, Jesus Christ. It plunges them into darkness and demonic deception. Demons are the real gods of the occult, and they're is reality. By all means, there is reality in the world of demons. There really are fallen angels and a real spirit world around us. Hell is just as real as heaven, and it will last just as long. The powers that are not of God are very real, and today people are fascinated with the occult. It is very natural to want to believe that every spiritual or supernatural experience is of God, even if we know that most spiritual experiences are not of God. People use drugs and every other means they can think of to try to make contact with this unseen world, and the host of hell is very eager to make contact with them. A child of God must leave this mess alone. To dabble in astrology or any area of the occult is to turn away from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. God has given us warnings concerning this, and His warnings have been very accurate in the past, and His warnings do not change. We must order our lives according to His warnings and His instruction and His direction from His more sure word of that KJV Holy Bible by His Spirit of Truth. All power originates from God, and we should know that God has delegated a small amount of power to the devil, which he in turn delegates to whosoever he will. You see that in Luke chapter 4, verse 6. And to worship any person, thing, or spirit other than Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is pure witchcraft, because witchcraft is defined as a means for extracting information or guidance from a pagan god. The concept of a masculine and feminine divinity is heresy. The concept of a masculine and feminine combined God is heresy, and it needs to be said clearly and explicitly. That is heresy. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Surely there is nothing wrong with stretching exercises or a time of thought alone. However, Kundalini yoga and meditation are much different than mere stretching or thinking. The idea is to extract guidance or information from a pagan god. Yoga and meditation are the means of extracting that guidance and information, and therefore yoga and meditation are nothing other than pure witchcraft. It is witchcraft because the Kundalini Yoga practitioners are summoning the Mother Goddess or other pagan gods. I think it should be said explicitly, with all holy boldness, that no believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should ever partake in any type of yoga class. And yes, that means martial arts also. you will not have to search very far to find New Age occultists in your community who are promoting yoga classes. And many today can find such classes even in their local church. Brethren, that is called infiltration. The devils know their time is short, and that's why they're 24 hours a day trying to steal, kill, and destroy people's lives. Yoga is not harmless. Martial arts are not harmless. Yoga always involves mind control. And sincere people may go to a yoga workout simply for the exercise, but still it must be said that they are supporting witchcraft. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Yoga, no matter what type it is evil. What does the Bible say should be top priority in our life? Consider these. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith, real faith in the one true living God, is the only thing that truly honors God as God. Faith, real faith, is manifest in its determination to do what God said, just because God said so. Jesus said, if you love me, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. And it was his finger writing those 10 in stone for Moses. And I'm glad you know. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I know every one of you know that. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And since the real God-honoring faith is seen in its determination to do what God said just because God said so, I cannot buy that lie that says there can be real faith apart from a hunger to read the Word of God. How can anyone claim to want to do what God said without there being an implicit desire to read the Word of God to know with certainty what God has told us to do? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Eve sinned by not pleasing God. She disobeyed God by not submitting to His Word. And disobedience always displeases God. God had warned Eve about eating of that forbidden fruit, just as God's word today is trying to warn the masses of the world of the judgment that is at the door. And just as Eve failed to listen, people today are remaining willfully ignorant of the truth of God's word. People today want supernatural signs and wonders, and are not careful, even in the churches, to know if the power being manifested is of God. The Lord said in Matthew 16:4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and we must test to know the spirit behind the power is of God. As the sons of Sceva found out in Acts 19:14-16, we will not be effective in resisting the devil unless we are submitted to God. And how will that happen unless we know what God said? James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Those who become involved in any of the many forms of the occult, whether they know it or not, are actually submitting to Satan and fleeing from God. How sad. And it's happening to millions today. Eve wanted to be as a god, and that took her into sin, shame, and misery. Those practicing the occult, even in its forms that are done in churches, and even if they use Christian terminology, evidently do not believe what happened to Eve back in the Garden of Eden. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. God said as definitely and explicitly as possible, ye must be born again. And many today need to be born again by receiving and acknowledging the truth and finding the grace of God that is evidenced in repentance. To practice Kundalini Yoga is blasphemy against God. Yes, Kundalini can lead to such powers as becoming invisible, curing all manner of diseases, knowing or discovering anything, leaving the body and traveling to any part of the world in a few seconds, and hurting your enemies, just to name a few things people may want to encourage them in the pursuit of Kundalini Yoga. You may have noticed people in India having a red dot on their forehead. This is the third eye. Kundalini Yoga masters teach that with the third eye, you can see forward, backward, everywhere, and see the past, present, and future at the same time. The Kundalini masters teach that if one can open their third eye, they will be able to tell even 2 years ago what you ate for breakfast, as well as to show the future, what's going to happen in your life and in the lives of others. As expected, these Kundalini Yoga masters will stress the importance of using Kundalini powers for good and not for bad purposes. Brethren, we should not have to go to a Jesuit-infiltrated seminary for a doctor's degree in theology to see what's wrong with this picture. There is only one true God. He identified himself to the people of this planet Earth as the God of Israel, the I Am, who taught the Torah to Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And that leaves no room whatsoever for seeking powers that are not of God. The whole concept of divine mother or mother earth or a female deity is not of God. Feminine revelations of God are always of heathen origin and have no place in biblical Christianity. The Bible teaches no such thing. And the Holy Spirit is not the feminine side of God. God has no feminine side presented anywhere in the Scriptures, and that's a fact. The Bible introduces us to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. Though a difficult doctrine for some to comprehend, it's not all that difficult for the born-again believers to accept and believe. The practice of summoning pagan gods in whatever manner or seeking such power is witchcraft. Kundalini Yoga is pure witchcraft because you're using meditation to invoke powers of cosmic gods. And these gods in reality do not exist except as demons, who are no gods at all. Any powers that result from the use of any type of yoga is from Satan. Satan gives power unto whomsoever he chooses, and yoga is just another front for Satan worship. If you want power from the devil, he'll give it to you, but you'll pay with your soul in an eternity of hell with him and his followers. People are naturally curious about the supernatural and the paranormal. There is danger in this. The danger is that the deceivers will exploit our natural interests. The New Age movement is one of Satan's devices. The Word of God must take precedence over everything we hear and see. The Bible, when it's in context and rightly divided and applied by the Holy Ghost, will blow the sheepskin covering away of many deceptive heresies now being promoted by people who claim to be anointed Christians. When someone says, "I am anointed," that's exactly the same as saying, "I am Christ." If you hear someone saying, "I am anointed," beware. Stick your spiritual antenna up an extra notch or two. Beware when people say, "Wow, isn't he anointed?" Okay, well, anointed by what spirit? Have we tested those spirits? When someone says, "I am anointed," it is exactly the same as saying, "I am Christ." Never forget that in these days of strong delusion. If believers are not properly grounded in the doctrines of the Word of God, even the very elect can be deceived. Ignorance is a dangerous thing, especially if that ignorance is ignorance of the KJV Holy Bible. Have you read it the way God said? Every word, straight through, line upon line and precept upon precept. Have you read it straight through from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21? Every word, precept upon precept, line upon line, so that you know the context. Brethren, if not, please make that your top priority. It is shocking to see how many who believe themselves to be Christians attend yoga classes. It's not a joke or a little deal. It can be a matter of eternal life or the lake of fire for eternity. All yoga and most of the martial arts involve pagan gods. God does not make light of witchcraft. It is a very serious matter that we must test the spirits to see if they are of God. The Bible is clear that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within every believer. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of the same I Am who taught Torah to Moses, God in us. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit which makes Yeshua one with the Father and should make us Echad one with one another. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. It is the Holy Spirit that guides us and teaches us and comforts us and rebukes us and reminds us of Scripture and convicts us and loves us, intercedes in prayer for us, empowers us and heals us and enlightens us and much more. As Christians, we seek our guidance and power from God and His Word. We do not need yoga or any anointed minister laying hands on us as believers. We already have the God of the universe living in our spirit. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If you want power, I'm going to love you enough to tell you, you are misguided. If you want power, you're misguided. Our purpose in life is to please God, and we can only please God by faith. We're told in Hebrews that it was by faith that Noah built the ark. The Bible says that Noah moved with fear. The things that God had said to Noah scared Noah. Do you know why? Because Noah believed God. Does the Bible scare you? If you're not a born-again believer, you should be scared. And we find many things in the Bible that should literally scare the hell out of us. Thank God that they're in there for that reason. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Maybe the Antichrist false prophet Pope would want to say that that's not the truth. However, God cannot lie, and the Pope lies all the time. All of them have always been liars. Call themselves Holy Father? Blasphemy. But God cannot lie, and He does say there explicitly in John 3:36 that God's wrath is upon those who have not believed on Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, the God of Israel. It's only by faith that we can please God. We're never commanded in the Bible to seek power. Rather, the power of God is found in the promises of God. If you want to experience God's power in your life, then go through your Bible and find all those thousands of promises which God has made and do your part, and know God will sure do His part. And God is no respecter of persons. Since Adam and Eve sinned following Satan in disobedience and rebellion against God, the entire human race is inherently wicked and void of understanding. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart, your heart and my heart, is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else. The only way we can see what God sees in our wicked hearts that should be fixed is by separating the soul and the spirit. Yes, that's the only way. And there's only one thing that can do that, to separate the soul and the spirit, so that we can see what God sees in these wicked hearts that we have. The Word of God in Hebrews 4:12 gives us the proof of that reality. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows our heart intents. God knows why we do what we do, and oftentimes we don't. We need to have the soul and spirit separated in order to see the wickedness in our own heart. And only the Word of God can do that. For the Word of God is quick, it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Romans 3:10 and 3:23 proclaim that there is none righteous, not one. We are all sinners, falling short of the mark. We may not like that, but that is the truth. Isaiah 64:6 says that even our self-righteous religious observances and good works is as filth to God. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Proverbs 6:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are your two witnesses. There are many paths that one can take to wind up in hell. And there's only one way to find eternal life. Any occult power seeking, regardless of who or where or how it's done, is an abomination to God and a sure way to hell. Know of a certainty that it is always right to bind spirits in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood of Yeshua. All we really need to know about Kundalini is that it should be bound. And if it's the strong man to bind that Kundalini or Nephilim spirit or half-breed or cross-breed spirit at the very start of any deliverance, beloved, be loved. Keep yourself in the love of God. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Yes, your life depends on obeying that command of the Lord in these last days of strong delusion. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, and therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Get ready for the extraterrestrials and the giants to make the front pages. Be ready for them knocking on your door. Be quick to speak in the name of Jesus. Be quick to tell them about the power of the blood of Yeshua. Learn submission to God. Learn the fear of God. The fear of God is learned. Know what God said. Learn the principles and tactics of spiritual warfare. Above all, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word, and everything is going to be all right. God loves you. Beloved, be loved. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshureword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.